Thanks, Ray. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks very much. It's the Brian's in the morning and the Ray's in the afternoon. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Ray. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray@rte.ie. Here's a bit of research I read years ago. And it came back to me today because we're doing laughter yoga on the show today and you can be involved. Anyway, the research I remembered was that children laugh up to 300 times a day, right? Children up to the age of 7 or 8 laugh 300 times a day. And then when you get into adulthood, you only laugh about 17 and a half times a day. Now, there are question marks over that research, but it's, you know, definitely as we get older, we laugh less. And the benefits to our mental health and our physical health of laughing are well documented. With that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are inviting you after 4 o'clock to stop whatever you're doing and join us for a laughter yoga session. If you don't want to listen to me, what would I know about laughter yoga? Well, yogi Ramesh Pandey is a big fan of the laughter and the yoga and all that. And here he is.
Laughing yoga, laughing exercise for the heart and mind. What you can do, just laugh. Very easy. Don't feel shy. And I'm happy, I'm alive.
I'm happy, I'm alive. I'm happy, I'm alive.
Now you can do full laughter.
Yes.
Inhale, exhale.
Great.
I'm happy, I'm alive.
So you get the idea. It's one of these things. I've done it before. And yes, you will feel a little bit self-conscious at the beginning because you're forcing the laugh and nobody wants to force a laugh. But it becomes fake it till you make it. And it's contagious. And we have a number of volunteers in the office who are going to pile into Studio 7 at about 4:15. We invite you to join us. You don't need a yoga mat for laughter yoga or laughing yoga. And Cathy Moore, who is a qualified practitioner of laughing yoga, we with us after 4:15. And I'm really looking forward to that. The people involved in On Colin Kuhn are laughing today because Hollywood Reporter and Variety have touted On Colin Kuhn to be nominated for an Oscar this year in the Best International Feature. And those people, Hollywood Reporter and Variety, they know what they're talking about. So fingers crossed for everybody there. And fingers crossed for Banshees as well. That's what they're calling it now. They're not calling it the Banshees of Inisherin. If you're cool, you just refer to it as Banshees. And we've more news about Banshees today, in particular about Jenny the Donkey. Jenny the Donkey. Now, I've my own Jenny. And I arrived home yesterday evening. We're so suspicious these days of all the scams. Like, scams are so prevalent and they're so clever and they're so realistic and they seem to be one step ahead of everybody. Us, the general public, the lawmakers, the Gardaí, the police, all of that sort of thing. So Jenny says, I got an email from Ryanair. They're telling me now that they're giving me a refund from something that was cancelled back in 2018. I said, Jenny, this is 4 or 5 years on. That's a scam. And she said, yeah, they did ask me to include my IBAN and whatever other bank details. And I said, definitely a scam. Definitely a scam. And Jenny was asking, well, how do they know that a Ryanair flight was cancelled back in 2018? And I said, they have ways. They hack into systems. Anyways, it turns out that it ain't a scam. And good news for a lot of Ryanair customers who back in 2018, their flights were cancelled due to industrial action within Ryanair. And like Jenny, a number of people would have applied for a refund. At that stage, they were told, no, you don't qualify for a refund. There was some legal action that was finally concluded in December, and now Ryanair are offering refunds. That's nice, isn't it? That's nice. It's like finding a fiver in your back pocket. But it's from Ryanair. And that's so laughter in our house. Laughter in ours. And thumbs up. But be careful with the thumbs up. Oh, no. Gen Z. It's not a band. It's a group of people who are between the ages of 18 and 29. Hello, if you're listening. Generation Z, they've asked people in that age group what hand gestures they think are uncool. So this is for us older people, so we know not to be uncool. The last thing you want to be is uncool. We all want to be cool, man. Sorry. So let's see. Thumbs up on its own. That's not cool anymore. Sorry about that. A double thumbs up is doubly uncool. So 19% say a single thumb up is not cool. Then 30% say double thumbs up is uncool. Pretending to write in the air to indicate you want the bill in a restaurant, that's not cool. That was never cool. That was never cool. 29% say that's not cool. Having your pinky up while drinking tea, that's not cool. I used to play rugby with a guy. He was a big farmer, big hands, big shovels of hands. But when he drank a pint of Guinness, he'd have his little pinky up in the air, which I thought was hilariously funny. Not cool, just not cool. Saluting, that's not cool. Fist bump or pump, that's not cool. So there you go. You know now what the young people think isn't cool. So act accordingly. Acting accordingly. Do you know what it is? I would hate to be a young person again, because the dating scene is just gone. I couldn't get my head around it. I see that the dating app Bumble has highlighted some of the trends that users can expect for 2023. And they've listed them there. Open casting. I've no idea either. Open casting refers to 1 in 3 people are now looking outside their usual type. And 63% are choosing emotional maturity over physical appearance. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah. Cash candid dating. 1 in 4 people are now setting financial boundaries in their dating lives. More than half would prefer a casual date over something fancy or expensive. And I think that refers as well. Listen, if we're going out, we'll go, you know, I'll pay half, we'll go Dutch. Or you pay and I'll pay the next time if we have a second date. That sort of thing. Cobwebbing. See, they make up these words. The ability to dust off the old cobwebs or old flames, as it were, as you can have a fresh start with someone new. This means going through your contact lists and deleting or saying no to catch-up drinks. They're always dangerous, the catch-up drinks. Because before you know it, the inhibitions are down and then, oh yeah, yeah, we had a good time together. You don't remember the bad times. You don't remember the reasons you broke up. And yeah, and then the next morning you're going, oh God, here we are again, here we are again. So cobwebbing. There, so there. What else do I have to tell you about today? Yeah, Dave Fishwick. We spoke to Dave a long time ago. Dave is from Burnley in the north of England. And back then he was running a minibus business. And when the crash hit, Dave's customers were coming to him saying that they couldn't get loans from the high street banks. So Dave, in a sort of a wonderful, beautiful naivety, said, I'll set up my own bank. And the Bank of Dave was born. So that was 2008, 2009, 14 years on, there is a movie called The Bank of Dave, and the man that has provided the inspiration for the movie is talking to us today. Dave Fishwick on The Bank of Dave, which lands, is that what they say? That's what the young people say, Gen Z say. It lands or drops on Netflix on Monday. And we have the Laugh of Yoga, and we have Jenny the Donkey, and lots more. Now, for some reason, I decided I was going to play a Waterboys song for you today, but I couldn't decide which one. So we have Mark and Fionnuala and Emily and Niamh outside. So they will decide for me. So we have this one. Fisherman's Blues. Nice song. Nice song. With this one. The obvious one. The Hole of the Moon. Could be overplayed. I don't know. It's not my choice. It's yours. And this one. A bit of a dark horse, I would imagine. Mark says 3, Niamh says 1, Fionnuala and Emily say 2, 2 gets us. Good afternoon. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. 2 votes for the Hole of the Moon. The Hole of the Moon, which we had during the week, and the Waterboys, as chosen by Fionnuala and Emily today. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Now, we mentioned this a few times, but today is definitely the last day of the Reeling in the Years quiz. For the moment, or maybe forever. Ah, oh, I know. We'd be sad to see it go, but I think we were hearing too much of Barack Obama. He'd come up a few times. So too had Madonna. And I think Charles Haughey was in there a few times as well. So on Monday, we will launch a new quiz. There will be balloons and confetti cannons and a brass band. And just to whet your appetite for the new quiz on Monday, it's going to be called the Whodunit Quiz. Yes. Yes, we locked ourselves into a room for minutes and came up with the whodunit quiz, and we're going to unleash it on an unsuspecting public, that being you, on Monday, the whodunit quiz. But it'll be clips, it'll be a bit of fun, it'll be two people, and there will be a prize. Just like Reel in the Year. So we, with a certain amount of sadness, we do this for the last time. Ah. Yeah, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and answer three questions on songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize. Yes, it's a two-night stay for two people in the Galmont Hotel and Spa, located on the idyllic shores of Loch Atoia, right in the heart of Galway City. And they've loads to offer down there. The Galmont Hotel and Spa's outdoor terrace. They have the award-winning Spirit One Spa and the Cooper's Bar and Lounge, an ideal location overlooking Galway Bay to stay and enjoy a break away. And of course, it's there, you know, right on the doorstep of Galway City. So anything that Galway has to offer, so too does the Galmont Hotel and Spa. TheGalmont.com for more information. TheGalmont.com for more information. Now, here's a qualifying question on this Friday. Today is Friday the 13th. Didn't even know that. People who are superstitious would say it's lucky or unlucky. Today is Friday the 13th. People who are superstitious would say it's lucky or unlucky. 0818715925. That's 0818715925. And good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551. Thank you. You've just played my favourite song of all time. You've made a 50-something's weekend. No need for laughter yoga now, says that person. Yeah, you see, sometimes I worry a bit with songs like that, that they're overplayed, but then you hear it and it's epic and it's wonderful and it's brilliant. The Whole Moon by the Waterboys. Now, one of the big good news stories of the week was the success of the Banshees of Inisherin at the Golden Globes on Tuesday night. Three Golden Globes, Best Screenplay, Best Movie and Best Actor for Colin Farrell. And Colin Farrell made a brilliant speech. It's nice to revisit it. He expressed his love for Brendan Gleeson, his dance partner, as he described him. He expressed his love for Martin McDonagh, who I think he said has made his life or saved his life or something like that. And then he went on to mention other aspects of the production.
I want to thank Sheila Flitton, who played our Banshee. I want to thank the cast and the crew and the locals of Inishmore and Achill Island that brought us in. And there was lines blurred between all of us so that we were just one big family for the betterment of all of our souls on that experience. And lastly, Jenny the Donkey, who is, Jenny. And she's having an early retirement. I'm one and done, so she's gone. And my kids at home who are watching this, James and Henry, the loves of my life. I love you so much, and thanks, Hollywood Foreign Press. All the best.
Lovely speech. Jenny the Donkey got a big cheer. And she stole a lot of scenes in the Banshees of Inisherin. Rita Maloney is the animal coordinator and trainer with Faircroft Animal Actors in Rathangan and County Kildare. And she helped train Jenny and knows Jenny well. Good afternoon, Rita.
Hi Ray, how are you?
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good.
Fellow Kildare person. Jenny, that was a great cheer. There's a lot of love. There was a lot of love in the room, as they say in lovey circles, for Jenny the Donkey. Were you surprised at that?
Absolutely. Well, I was actually, right? I think Jenny will have to go down in my Jenny, not yours,
yes,
in history as the worst, as the first donkey.
You're breaking up there now.
Sorry, Ray.
Are you pressing something there, or no? Is there somebody trying to ring you?
No.
Try again there. So she'll go down in history as
the first and possibly the only donkey that has ever been mentioned on the global stage.
Yeah, right. Just people who hasn't seen it. It's Jenny is a miniature black donkey. What sort of height is she?
About 32 inches.
Right, so she's below Colin Farrell's waist.
Very much so.
Tell us about Jenny, Rita.
Jenny is an unusual miniature donkey because for miniature, she's very small. Mm. Just lovely, totally in proportion. Martin had seen her about maybe 20 months before the movie went into pre-production. and he just fell in love with her. And he liked her because she was different, and she remained different. And then he just couldn't see beyond Jenny, and so, you know, he's and Martin has very exacting standards, so he just saw her and reckoned that that was the animal for the movie.
Okay, so what happens then? So he spots a donkey in the rough, I suppose, a diamond in the rough, and then he contacts you. Is that the way it goes?
No, he was Jenny was presented to Martin, right, by the owner of Jenny at the time, and in relation to working on the movie, and he loved her, and then we were contacted about taking Jenny in and working with her to train her to work on the movie.
Aha. Now, things that people won't know about animals in movies, a number of things. Firstly, they have to have a double. Why is that?
Insurance purposes. When principal photography starts, it means that if, God forbid, that something would happen to an animal or one of the principals, that they need to have a double on set. Because you just can't, you can't shut down the shoot because something happens and the main actor is not available. Now, they can shoot around with a human, they can shoot around, they can jump scenes and things like that. But if the main animal becomes injured, where do they go? All of a sudden, she's there, she's part of the principal story, and then she's not. So,
For people who didn't see it, Jenny. And
shame on them.
Yes, shame on them. Jenny and a pony are pets of Colin Farrell's character, Porrig.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minnie was Colin's pony.
Yeah.
And Jenny was Colin's pal. Uh-huh. Like his go-to type of animal. It's like him having a dog. It's like, it's exactly the same as Brendan having his buddy, who was Sammy the dog. So Jenny is to Colin what Sammy was to Brendan.
Okay. And you have worked with animals and trained animals for how many years, Rita?
A lot.
A lot. Right. Okay.
Right. Right. In my head, I think I'm only right so many certain years. Well, I suppose, right. Yeah. Maybe kind of over... maybe 40 years and over.
Well, and the reason I just want to establish that is that, so you know animals and you know their personalities. So how would you describe Jenny's personality?
Rafe, when we got to know her first, or when I met her first, she was only a baby.
Mm.
She was, like, no, she was three. And equine-wise, she's only a baby. She knew nothing, and nothing had been done with her. So it's like she's a blank canvas.
Mm.
And then she is taken from her, not taken from her owner, but with his agreement, she came down to us, and we just, she knew nothing. Everything was different, and she'd never been socialized with people, so everything was new for Jenny.
Go on.
No, sorry. And equines are flight animals, so if they don't know, they just, you know, go.
Right.
Get the hell out of Dodge.
So you have to train, and you've all those years experience. Now, there were a number of stories doing the rounds, and you might put the record straight. Like Colin Farrell, was he bitten, was he kicked, or what happened, and what were the circumstances of it?
The first two.
No, the first two, right. He was both, right. Okay, right. Okay.
Well, it was nothing to do, right? It wasn't right that Jenny personally, right, didn't like Colin, because, I mean, he was fantastic with her, right? And even, right, obviously, right, he's still in treatment, right, in LA, because, right, he's still willing to talk about Jenny,
yeah,
who kicked him.
Right.
Kicked him, right, in the middle of a scene. But Cullen understands how that happened, because it was the first time that Jenny, the donkey, and Minnie, the pony, you would look at Minnie and say, well, she's a horse, because she was huge for a pony.
Mm.
And she was an island pony and absolutely fabulous, fabulous creature. And Jenny was coming in, right, as a greenhorn. And so they are doing this scene where Cullen is feeding Minnie and Jenny at his house, and Jenny just said, well, stuff that. I am a little bit, you're not invading my space, you're not getting my food. So she kicked him first and then went to kick Minnie.
And so that's the kick. And, and the bite then?
Oh, the bite came from Morse, the dog.
Oh, so right, right.
It was only a nip. It wasn't a
bite.
Job. It was just a little reminder. Here, come on. You're only a two-legged creature.
Yeah.
Right, on four legs. And four legs are always better.
Well, all the four-legged creatures really sort of embellished the Banshees of Inishearn.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lovely presence there. They were lovely. So Jenny,
sometimes too much.
Well, I don't know, I suppose it's a matter of opinion. Jenny now, according to Cullen, has been retired. Is that the case?
100%. And that was at Martin's bequest.
Right.
He just didn't want her to go on and or to be. I was going to say used or anything like that. She would never have been used, right? But for her to just be used, right, because of what she had done on the movie.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so like, yeah, so if people saw her potential, that they might use in other things. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Now, while we're on that, before we let you go, because people see these things and then they get all excited, and the notion of having a miniature donkey as a pet becomes real for some people. What advice would you give to them if they have that notion?
I'd say get over your notion.
That's brilliant advice. Yeah, get over your notion and yourself. Yeah.
Get over your notion, because at the end of the day, there is so much maintenance attached to looking after animals, even dogs, domesticated, right? Jenny was not domesticated. She production gave us 9 months to work with Jenny, the donkey. And which was huge, but she also had to do a huge amount of stuff, right? So at the end of the day, people just see these pets out on set or they see it on the movie and say, oh, I'm going to have one of those. They're not domesticated. They're wild animals. They are flight animals. They need to be maintained. And if one is to do it properly, they need their feet looked after, they need veterinary attention.
So not a good idea, teeth. Not a good idea. As you say, get over not the notion, get over and that notion.
I think, absolutely. And I also think that maybe Martin was foreseeing enough, like when you see the scripts that he writes, that he's foreseeing enough that he saw all that and protected maybe the species, right, from thinking, oh, I'm going to have one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Rita Maloney, animal coordinator and trainer with Firrcroft Animal Actors and responsible for the animals on the Banshees of Inishearn in the main and their training, and particularly Jenny. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again,
Ray,
I'm sure, Rita.
Ray, sorry. Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
That the main person involved in the training of Jenny was Mary Owens, because she came on board with starting to teach and train Jenny, and that's how Jenny got as good as she was on set.
Now, we spoke to Mary before
years
ago, and she brought a couple of dogs.
Yes.
She was your partner in Firrcroft Animal Actors for a long time, yeah. And sadly, she died last year.
Yes, yes.
So she would have been so proud of Jenny on the Banshees and the success of the movie, wouldn't she?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And the production company gave her top billing on the credits.
Did they? Oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely thing. That's a lovely thing. Okay.
And she deserved that.
Yeah. Okay, Rita. Mind yourself.
Thank you very much,
lovely
Ray.
Talking
and
to you.
You.
Bye now. Bye. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Now, remember the crash back in 2008 when the financial world and our world was turned upside down and many banks internationally went to the wall? Well, out of the rubble of that crash, phoenix-like emerged the Bank of Dave, a local Burnley bank for local Burnley people. The bank was set up by Dave Fishwick. And now Dave's story, The Bank of Dave, is a major motion picture. And Dave Fishwick is on the line. How are you doing, Dave?
Good afternoon. Marvellous.
You're always marvellous. You're one of those men who has this really positive outlook on life. And I suppose that's why you are where you are today. Now, a lot of people listening, Dave, won't know about The Bank of Dave. But we spoke back in the day in 2010, 2011.
Yes, we did.
So I know it. But will you tell them about you? You used to, well, you left school at 16. We'll get that out of the way. And then you set up a van, then a minibus business. And what happened then?
Yeah, so left school at 16, absolutely useless, didn't have the price of a chip butter. And then I wanted to get involved in cars and vehicles. I loved cars, but I couldn't afford a gallon of petrol. So I found somebody that allowed me to take their old part exchanges of an old garage away, clean them up, sell them, bring them back the original amount of money, and the difference was mine. And that was the beginning of starting a business. I went from one car to many cars, then into vans, and then I got a bus. And sometimes in life, you never know when these opportunities come, but when they do, you've got to grab them with both hands, Ray. So that's what I did. I sold this minibus, and that was the beginning of something really big, because today I'm the largest supplier of minibuses in the country. But then that takes us screaming up towards 2008 and the big crisis, and the banks just stopped lending, and my customers wanted finance for the buses as they had done for years, and the banks just stopped lending to them. And I'm thinking, have they done something wrong? Have they got a CCJ? Have they moved house? Have they stopped paying the bills? But you know what, Ray? Nothing had gone wrong with them. The problem was at the front door of the High Street Bank. They just stopped lending. So I thought, well, either I stop selling minibuses, which would be a problem, or if I believe in these people, why don't I lend them the money? I understand what they're buying. I built it. I understand what they do for a living. They drive buses. Mm-hmm. And I know where they live. So I lent them the money. They paid me back. And I thought, this banking malarkey, it's not that difficult. And that's how it started. But then I wanted to do something special. I wanted then to look at other businesses. And I wanted to help other small businesses get going. So I thought, well, I'll go and start a small bank. And down to London I went, and I said to them, that's where all the bankers are in London. And I went there and I met Andrew Hilton, the head of the banking community. And I said to him, I said, I want to open a bank. And he said, where are you from? And I said, Burnley. That put him off for starters. And then he said, have you been to Oxford or Cambridge? And I said, well, let me tell you something about people that come from Burnley. We don't get them sort of opportunities. I've got no qualifications. He said, well, what do your mum and dad do? I said, well, my dad's got two jobs. He's a labourer on a farm in the morning and he fixes looms in the afternoon, which is what they call a tackler in the mills. My mum's a weaver. My dad's always had two jobs and he works 7 days a week. And he said, no, no, no. He said, you've not got the correct qualifications, you've not got the correct parents, and you've not been to the correct school. You've absolutely no chance. I wanted to punch him, Ray.
And when was the last time before you that they'd licensed a bank in the UK?
A new high street bank has not been licensed for over 120 years in the UK.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's there's a bit not of a department for it. When you go in, there's no office. I went in to ask and they were blowing the dust off some paperwork.
But I love the simplicity of your approach. I want to open a bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in your world, it was straightforward.
Well, I just thought, look, I want to help people get the best rate of interest on the high street. I then want to lend that money to businesses and people who can't borrow from the high street bank through no fault of their own. And then I want to take the profit, pay the overheads, and give the difference to charity. It can't be that difficult.
You thought.
Oh, my word. Dave, that were 10 years ago.
Yeah, what was Burnley like after the crash?
I think it was like every other town across the UK, Ireland, and everywhere's the same. I think we all really, really struggled. Mm. And banks just stopped lending to everybody. I mean, people who rob banks go to prison, but banks who rob people get paid bonuses.
Yeah.
How does that work, Ray?
And you, like the rest of us, were frustrated with what they'd done to the world. And yes, as you say, they were being paid bonuses, and our governments bailed them out.
Yes, it's the only business in the world that you win-win. So if you get a load of money in and you send it off to America and they make loads of money by derivatives and credit default swaps and things that I really understand now, just because I wanted to know exactly what's going on. And if it goes well, they get paid a fortune in bonuses. And if it goes bad, the taxpayer bails them out. It's the only industry you win both ways.
So you, behind this cheery exterior, Dave, you were a bit angry and a bit frustrated. And that was a driving force as well, I would imagine.
Well, in life, you must never give up. I mean, I have four rules. Rule number one is never lose money. Rule number two is never forget rule number one. And rule number three, and these are important, these last two, so your listeners can perhaps write some of these down.
Okay.
Rule number three is never give up, Ray. And rule number four, the most important one of all time, is never, ever give up. Right. And then when you're up against the big institutions, yeah. I mean, the big banks hate me with a passion.
And you,
but I don't mind that. I actually quite like it.
And you went down to London with a minibus and a loudhailer at one stage.
I did. I took one of my buses because it was full of diesel. And I went down in that. And we filled it full of people. And I stood on the roof outside the Bank of England because they wouldn't let me in. They locked door. And they won't let me in, so I got a loud ale, stood on the top of the roof of the bus and shouted through the windows. Until somebody come out. At least then they spoke to me. But we made the documentary with Finestripe, and it went on to be shown all over the world. We won BAFTAs and Royal Tevin Society Awards, and it was really, really well received by everyone in the world.
And you realised early on, I suppose, the power of things like that.
Yes. I need people like yourself, Ray. Like I said to you when we spoke last time, you know, without people like you, and people like me cannot get forwards. We need protecting by the media and we need the help of the media to push this forward. I would love to see a community finance operation like Burnley Savings and Loans, a Bank of Dave in every part of England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. I'd like to see one everywhere, but not owned by me, the Bank of Ray or the Bank of Tracy. You know, owned by the people, run by the community to benefit the community and the profit go back into the community rather than the banker's bonus culture.
So what are the top line figures now for, it's not called the Bank of Dave, it's called
Burnley Savings and Loans.
Okay.
We're going through the process. It's very, very expensive. We've lent over £30 million across the UK. Don't get me wrong, it's tiny. But in a community like Burnley, it's big. And if other people could do the same or be inspired by us, that's where we've won. Because 30 million, 40 million, 50 million in each town and city, community makes such a difference. And I'll tell you for why. I got a letter the other day from Park School round the corner from the Banker Dave. And they said, Dave, I'm ever so sorry. I don't want a van or a minibus, but I do need your help. This was the headmistress that wrote to me. She said, the kids are coming to school starving. Is there anything you can do? And I said, what do you need? She said, we would love a big industrial toaster and a lot of food. And I said, no problem. We bought the machinery. We sent it up to the school. I bought a year's supply of food for them. I told them to ring me 3 months before we get to the end of the year. I'll then buy another year's supply of food for them. And that's what we do. We take the profit from what we do and we feed kids. If the big banks did the same, instead of paying tens of millions in bonuses, the world would be such a better place, Ray.
But there's greed everywhere, Dave.
Isn't there? And in the payday loan industry, I made a series called the Loan Ranger, where I took the payday loan industry on and I got Wong a cap for charging 5,500% APR and we won a lot of awards for that. But them sorts of companies need stopping, and Burnley Savings and Loans lends to people who perhaps would get stuck in that cycle of debt of 5,500% APR. We need to get people out of that.
Yes,
there needs to be a net for these people to fall on and bounce back up into their community and be helped back into work.
Where does the credit union fit into your world?
I love credit unions. I love it. I love them with a passion. But the problem with credit unions is they're only allowed to lend a certain amount of their income into businesses. It's very small amounts of percentage-wise of what they're allowed to do. Where we could lend money, like I'll give you for instance, I had a lady come to me that wanted to borrow money for IVF treatment. She'd saved up for years. She had enough money to do it. She went to the hospital, and then since, because of the credit crisis, everything's gone up. Even that's gone up, and it'd gone up 20%, and she needed an extra few £1,000. She didn't have the time left in her lifespan to be able to get the money in time for her to be able to have this treatment, because she needed it now. She were racing towards 40 and needed it now. And she said, Dave, she were in tears. She said, Dave, I need to borrow this money. I've got nobody else to go to. She's been to a high street bank and they said they won't lend it her because they've nothing to take back. They can't take the child or anything. Mm. And I just thought, oh, where's this world going? So I lent her the money and I lent it interest free. And I said, look, all I want you to do is pay me back when you can, no interest whatsoever. The Burnley Savings and Loans charity will take care of the interest. But I want you to do one thing. I want you to call it Dave.
Even if it's a girl.
Davina.
Davina, right.
But that's a true story. Obviously, I didn't say call it Dave or Davina.
No. Because you don't.
It's a true story.
Your ego is nothing.
We give her the money and she's going out there and hopefully, you know, we've created a life. And if I do nothing else in my life, just to know that that happened would be wonderful. She's going to bring the child in when it's born and we're going to get to meet them.
Yeah.
What a fantastic thing.
Why
aren't the big banks doing this? You know, why aren't they lending to people? That's what they were there for.
They don't want to see their customers anymore, Dave. Never mind get pictures taken with their kids.
No, they just lock the door and shut and go off. I mean, my mum's 75 years old. She can't use a computer.
Yeah.
You know, what happens to people who can't use computers? What happens to them? But they don't care about that.
Listen, forget about them for the moment, because the movie, which is available on Netflix as in from Monday, The Bank of Dave, is a small movie with a big heart. It's just one of those, you know, these David versus Goliath movies. And I'm saying this to our listeners, Dave, not to you, because you've seen it, obviously, and you know, because it's your life. But it's just, it's up there with The Commitments, the Phantom of the Open. I don't know if you've seen that, Dave. Fight with My Family. Really lovely, heartfelt, tear-jerking stories with a lovely feel-good thing at the end. And that's what The Bank of Dave is. Highly recommended from here. So how did it come about, Dave?
Well, I mean, this is a phone call I got about 2 years ago from Piers Ashworth, who is a famous writer in America. He was in Hollywood having dinner with the voiceover guy that voiced the original documentary of The Bank of Dave. And Piers Ashworth, he actually wrote Mission Impossible for Tom Cruise. He'd just done a big movie here in Britain called Fisherman's Friends, where a group of fishermen end up in Glastonbury. And it were a real feel-good movie. And they thought, do you know what? We want another movie like that. And that's what the studio said. So Piers was looking for another feel-good film. And he was out having dinner with the voiceover guy. And he said to him, do you know anybody in England that's got a real story? And he said, look, what about Dave? Give him a ring. You know, so what Piers did, he went and read me books. He watched the documentaries. He watched some of my other programmes. And he rung me. And this is what he said, Ray. He said, I want to make a Hollywood movie about your life. I thought, marvellous. I said, you better get yourself over to Burnley then. And he did. I mean, we get these sorts of phone calls all the time when you come from Burnley.
And the brilliant thing about it is that it's made on location in Burnley, which is brilliant for Burnley and for the people of Burnley and for you, of course. And it has a star-studded cast. Phoebe Dynevor, people would know her from Bridgerton. Rory Kinnear, people would know him from Bond. Hugh Bonneville, people know him from loads of things, Downton Abbey and Paddington and all sorts of things. And it's lovely. It's beautifully acted. And it's just a great movie. When you saw it first, Dave, because you would have seen them filming around Burnley, I would imagine, but when you were brought into the cinema
part of it.
And you saw it on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, I remember meeting Rory for the first time. He come up to my house
Rory plays Dave, just for people at home, yeah.
Yeah, Rory Kinnear, whose father were Roy Kinnear, who were another big movie star. But Rory plays Tanner in Bond. Now, when I met Piers Ashworth at first and we talked about who was going to play me, he mentioned Rory and he mentioned Tom. But I said, the thing with Tom is he's going to look too much like me. We're going to be like twins. So we picked Rory. Yeah. And Rory come up to my house and he knocked on the door. I opened the door and there he were. He said, Dave, meet Dave. And I thought, you'll do for me. He looks more like me than I do.
He does. He does, actually. He does. And, he's brilliant. And, you know, it must have been a weird sensation, though, watching it in the cinema, was it?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. You're looking up at it. And then Phoebe Denevoux come over. She'd just been playing a part in Bridgerton in this massive Netflix humongous series with 400 million viewers. She flew in from LA to Burnley and I met her in Burnley Market and we had a chip butty together. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. I think people are going to love this. I think it's going to be huge, Dave. So where is the Bank of Dave is still going? You're still getting the message out there. You're still evangelical about local community banks, still spreading the word. And are you still selling minibuses?
Yeah, at some point I need to go back there and sell a few buses because I have a job as well. Yeah. You know? The thing about the Burnley Savings Loans, David H is there. He's been there. You know, he's been in the job 60 years, and he's the old fashioned bank manager type. He's making sure everybody's doing what they should do. They make decisions there based on common sense. There's none of this where a computer 300 miles away makes a decision. We know people have problems, and my team are taught to look at that. But I couldn't do it without them. I stand at the front and fight the four because I have to. Because there's a lot of big organisational financial industries out there that don't like me. Mm. But I don't care. I'm going to carry on feeding starving kids and they can do whatever they're going to do.
Do you think many big bankers would be watching The Bank of Dave on Netflix?
I think they'd be throwing things at it, but that, I get off on that.
Yeah.
You know, the big institutions that took everybody's money and then left everybody in the lurch, I ain't got a problem with them getting mad with me.
Now it says at the beginning, based on a true-ish in brackets story. So yes. there's a little bit of poetic license, I suppose. Do you sing karaoke, Dave Fishwick?
Yes, I sing in the car. I don't know if you remember in the documentaries, I sing very, very badly.
Yeah.
And then Rory got up on stage and sung, and he sings brilliantly. And I said to him, look, you sing too good. Because he's got one of those Olivier Awards for acting. He's a proper actor. You know, and Joel Fry, he sings as well. And Joel Fry's out of Game of Thrones. And I couldn't believe all these massive, massive actors and actresses like Jo, who plays my wife, Jo Hartley, out of Afterlife. And with Ricky Gervais, and you just think, how's this happened? How has this? And then right at the end, something spectacular happens, and I'm not even allowed to talk to it. And David's looking across the counter at me at the moment from Netflix, saying, "Please don't tell anybody." But there's something happens at the end,
okay.
And I remember watching that bit getting filmed, and I looked up at the stage, and I looked up and I thought, "Now that has just happened." And that is definitely a life-changing thing.
The Bank of Dave, it lands, as they say, Dave, on Netflix on Monday. And it's highly recommended from here. A real feel-good movie. And just to give a little musical clue as to what might be happening at the end without giving it away in full, Dave, we leave you with a bit of this. You can sing along if you like.
I'm glad you did that instead of me.
Dave,
it's marvellous.
It is.
Netflix were brilliant.
Dave Fishwick, thanks very much. Mind yourself.
Thank you.
Talk to you again.
See you soon, Ray.
Bye.
All the best. Ta-ra!
Ta-ra yourself, Dave.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I'm 60-ish. I've been through the recessions. Dave's story and ethos and kindness has just moved me to tears, especially his gift to the needy school. Knight him, says Philip. And Dave's story would remind you of It's a Wonderful Life. It's a lovely movie, feel-good movie. And on laughing yoga, I went to laughing yoga on a hen party a few years ago. I was cynical at first, but by the end, I was converted. It was such a tonic and helped break the ice between a load of people who didn't know each other. And we will be doing laughing yoga at about 4:15. And you are invited to join in and participate You don't need any special equipment like a yoga mat or leggings or special runners or anything like that. Just yourself. And if you can grab some people, it'd be great in the kitchen or whatever. It'll be a bit of crack. Set you up for the weekend, we hope. Ray, ask the guest, can he sing the song called The Laughing Policeman and skip the yoga? We'll have a laugh on at that. Is that Dave? Oh, yeah. The Laughing Policeman. The Laughing Policeman. Yes. Yeah. just to whet your appetite for the laughing. Did you know that back in 1966, David Bowie had a song called The Laughing Gnome? No?
I was walking down the high street when I heard footsteps behind me. And there was a little old man,
hello,
scarlet and grey, chuckling away.
I know, odd, laughing gnome. Loads of great programming around David Bowie at the moment because of the anniversary of his death. And I was watching David Bowie at the BBC last week and how David Bowie got famous. Great stuff. Particularly if you're a fan. Anish, Toshina, and the Pre-Skelton, and Oaktala, Kieran, and Faharta. Gurmaga, Kieran, have a good weekend. Thank you very much. 5 on 5, 5 on radio.rt.ie. They've set up microphones in the studio because I will be joined by a group of people for our laughing yoga session in about 15 minutes' time. Thinking about it up in the office there, I was blushing because it's one of those things that initially you feel very self-conscious and then it takes over and it gobbles you up. And before you know it, that forced laughter becomes real laughter. And it's something special. It's something special. They're excited, they're telling me in my headphones. They're excited. Great, great to hear that you're excited. Now, for the last time, we're saying goodbye to the Real in the Ears quiz and hello to the Who Done It quiz on Monday. More about that anon. So, two quizzers standing by and a prize, which is a two-night stay for two people at the Galmont Hotel and Spa, located on the idyllic shores of Loch Atoia, right in the heart of Galway City. They have their outdoor terrace, their award-winning Spirit One Spa, Cooper's Bar and Lounge, and lots more besides. An ideal location if you want to enjoy everything that Galway has to offer. Or you can go further afield, out into the wild Atlantic Way, Connemara, and lots more. The Galmont Hotel, their website is thegalmont.com. Thegalmont.com. Hello, Anne Ford.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
You won't have to travel far. You're in Galway.
No. Hey, listen, a freebie's always a freebie, you know. I'm really excited. I had a little bit of illness last year, so this is going to tide me over now while I'm waiting for my summer holiday in 2023.
Well, you have to win it first, Anne. You have to...
you have to be optimistic.
Are you Galway City or outside Galway City?
No, we're out in the suburbs here in Clanbridge.
Right. Yes.
Home of the oysters.
Exactly.
Home of the oysters.
Yes, I've had many an oyster out in Clanbridge.
It's a good spot.
It's a lovely spot out there, yeah. You're fully recovered, are you, Anne?
I am indeed, yeah. Absolutely. Nearly back on my feet now. So a little mini break would be wonderful if we could match that rate. Yeah.
And it's only when you don't have it that you appreciate the importance of health, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I was listening to your next segment coming up on the laughter yoga. Yeah. So we'll be waiting on that one as well, having a laugh.
So you're a taxi driver for your children. What ages are they and how many have you got?
Well, I've got three children. Two adults and one almost an adult. She's 19. My baby is Gillian. She's 19. Mm. And she's the one I do most of the taxi driving for her. She's working hard on getting her driver's license, but in the meantime, Mom is, doing the taxi driving. Yeah. So, yeah. And then I have Gavin, and he's 22, mm-hmm. so he's still at home, and he's in college. Had exams over the Christmas, so he was busy. And then Laura is my eldest. She's living in Dublin.
Right.
Enjoying the nightlife in Dublin.
And your husband is Andrew?
Yes, my husband is Andrew, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's out working, so.
Great. And Clarenbridge is where you're from. You're up against Phyllis Fennan. How are you doing, Phyllis?
How are you doing, Ray? How are you getting on?
Good. Fellow Kildare person, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Churchtown Athy.
All right. Churchtown Athy, is that, whereabouts is that now in relation to Athy itself?
It's between Athy and Stradbally, County Leash.
Yes, I know where you are. Yes, yeah. And how are things with you today? Good?
I'm good. Wouldn't mind getting to the Galmount now all the same. I'd like a little break.
It's the perfect time for a break, isn't it, after Christmas and all that.
Lovely.
Yeah, so you have how many grandchildren? I'm reading here.
Oh, I have four. Sive, 14 on Monday. Sean, Rourke and Michal.
Right, and they're sports mad.
Lovely.
And do they live close by, Phyllis?
Yes, they live in Ballytor, which is about 10-15 minutes away from me.
I know where Ballytor is, yeah, Ballytor.
You do?
Yeah.
The Harp Bar,
Is Ballytor the Quaker place?
It is, yes.
Yeah, there's a Quaker meeting house there.
Yeah, it is,
and
yeah.
And strong connections to Shackleton.
Oh, lovely, yes. Yeah. And a great show going on there now with Brian Hughes and all that. So,
is there?
Oh, yeah, it's going, well, not in Ballytor at the minute, but we're coming to a tie with it. It was in Waterford and it was in Ennis, so Shackleton is flying around a tie and we love it, yeah.
Right, great. Okay, so it's the final reel in the years, so for the last time I'll tell you, three questions each. If you go for a long clip and get it right, you get a point. If you go for a shorter clip and get it right, it's more difficult. So you get 2 points. Whoever gets the most points is the winner. And then at the end, if it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. So good luck, Anne, and good luck, Phyllis. Here we go.
Thank you.
Now, it's last year. 2022 was the year, Anne, and we're starting at the movies. So would you like a long clip or a short clip?
I'll go with the long clip.
Okay. This Irish breakout hit movie was the story of a withdrawn 9-year-old who experiences a loving home for the first time. Can you name it? Long clip.
Shasamach, good hour, Miss Blake Carter. Tom Derrick, a Bacchustosser. Vitus of Fran, who is got this in?
Tom Fran Vist.
Oh, God, a horrible nature.
This is the drift, okay, Barbara.
So, the name of that movie?
On Colleen Kuhn.
Is correct. The Quiet Girl, based on Claire Keegan's book, Foster. You get a point for that. Okay, Phyllis, we're still on the movies from last year. Do you want a long clip or a short clip?
I'll go short.
Okay, this was another Irish smash hit set on a remote island. Can you name it?
I wasn't trying to be nice. I was trying to be accurate.
So an Irish...
Is it the Banshee of Inishere?
It is. The Banshee of Inishere, and it is. And that's Sheila there, who we spoke to during the week, who played the part of Miss McCormack. She was brilliant in it. 2 points for you.
Yeah.
Okay, Anne. So you're on one. Phyllis is on two. Next question is on music from last year. So what do you want to do, long or short?
Oh, I'll go short.
Short, okay, because you sort of have to. British singer went to the top of the charts with his song back in September of last year. Top of the charts all over the world. Can you name the song or the singer?
Lucky, lucky girl, she got married to a boy like you.
Any ideas?
Sam Smith.
It is Sam Smith. Yes, well done. Unholy. It's still at the top of the charts all over the world. I was just looking there before I came down to studio. So you get 2 points. Well done. You're on three. Phyllis, you're on two. And your second question is on music as well from last year. Do you want to go... Go on.
A chance short.
Okay. This was also number one hit for this American performer back in April of last year. Can you name the song or the singer?
Everybody back up in the building. It's been a minute. Tell me how you're healing.
Who's that?
Ari.
Ah, Phyllis.
Ariana Grande.
No, it ain't Ariana Grande. It's Lizzo. It's Lizzo. It's Lizzo, Phyllis. Okay, now let's see where we are with one question to go for each year. Anne, you're on three. Phyllis, you're on two. So, Anne, here's the permutations for you. If you go short and get it right, you're on five. Phyllis can't catch you, so you're today's winner. However, if you go long, get it right, Then you're on four. If Phyllis goes shorts and get it right, she's on 4-2. Then we're into a tiebreak situation. If you get it wrong, all Phyllis has to do is go short and get it right. She's the winner. So loads of permutations there. What are you going to do, long or short?
I'll go short.
Okay. Go big or go home. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
Right. A tabloid newspaper correctly bet that a lettuce would outlast who as Prime Minister of the UK?
I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected.
Who's that?
She was so short in there, I can hardly remember her name.
Yeah. I need an answer from you.
Truss, was it? Was it her name?
Truss'll do me, yeah. Liz Truss. Truss'll do me, yeah. There you go. From the recesses of your brain. And lucky for you. Phyllis, unlucky for you. Sorry about that.
Never mind, Ray.
Yeah, yeah. It was Lizzo who caught you out there. So I tell you what, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. They're much sought after and limited edition and all that. So that's on its way down to Athyfia. And lovely talking to you, Phyllis. Mind yourself. Have a good weekend.
You too, Ray.
Okay, bye now. Bye. Anne, well done.
You
were travelling from Clarenbridge into the Galway in Galway City. Well, at least you won't have to do the cooking, you won't have to do the cleaning, you won't have to do the taxi service and all that. So you and a person of your choice, and you can go to thegalmont.com to see what's in store for you. Lovely talking to you, Anne. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Bye. And somebody's been on there. Fiona Barry in Cork says, I was the first ever player on the Reeling in the Years quiz back in October 2021. Thanks for the prize and the great memory having chatted to you. So it lasted 2 years. Huh? No, 1 year. One and a bit. 1 year and what? 3 months. And the new quiz starts on Monday. The Whodunit quiz. We'll tell you all about that on Monday afternoon. Right now, quick merch break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah. Synonyms for laughing. Guffaw, chuckle, chortle, cackle, howl, roar, ha-ha, split one sides, be in stitches, be rolling in the aisles, bust a gut, break up, crack up, fall about, laugh like a drain, giggle, titter, snigger, snicker, tee-hee-hee-hee-hee, and all that after this.
Anyway!
Yeah, it's about damn time for some laughter yoga here on RTÉ Radio 1. Cathy Moore, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Good. You are a laughter yoga practitioner. Is that what
That's
you call
correct.
Yourself?
Yes, correct. Practitioner, okay. Facilitator, leader.
Right.
I lead laughter.
Okay, right. I am standing up. You are standing up. I don't usually stand up, but you can't do laughter yoga sitting down, really.
Well, you can do it sitting down, yeah. Ray. And we can do it in like nursing homes and people with disabilities. But for the energy, we're just of a short space of time. We want to jizz it up and we want to really get going. So okay. That's why we're standing
What's
up.
The history of laughter yoga?
The history of laughter yoga is it started back in 1995 in Mumbai with five people in a park, one of them being a medical doctor.
Right.
And he was doing a research paper on the benefits. So he brought together these people and they put together all these different exercises to make it work because he's seen that there was actual physical benefits to it. There was health benefits to it. His wife was a yoga instructor. So that's where the breathing comes in, the
so
prana comes
he
in.
He saw the benefits of laughing.
He saw the benefit, the scientific benefits.
Yes,
for
she
the
was
health.
A yoga teacher with the breathing.
Exactly.
So they married the two
together.
Right.
And from that, we have laughter yoga.
So I did it about 10 years ago. That must have been back at the nearly, no, about, well, I'd say right. 2002. So that was
today
in its infancy. Yeah.
Is, well, this year is the 20th years of laughteryogaireland.org with Mary Ananda Shakti, who brought laughter yoga to Ireland. She brought the founder of laughter yoga to Ireland, Dr. Madan Katara. And there's a video on YouTube, a documentary was done where he came to Donegal and he was doing laughter yoga with her where she launched laughter yoga.
Yeah.
And she's an amazing woman. I call her my laughter guru. And he also went to a blind school because in India, they go to schools, they go to workplaces, they go to homes for the elderly, the same as we do here as well.
Mm.
Wherever we're invited, we'll turn up.
How did you get involved?
I got involved, right, because my life came to a standstill. I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in 2011. That was on top of already having major chronic life-threatening illnesses previously. And it was like, oh, no, not again.
Right.
So getting in, you're on this like track where you're medical, you have to turn up for this appointment, turn up for that appointment. So you don't know which way is up. And then suddenly when that's all finished, you're left with nothing. So your life has completely changed. So friends that you had are no longer there because your circles have changed, your work has changed, everything has changed. And you're trying to recreate yourself and trying to find yourself again. So I went to a conference that the Irish Cancer Society had put on, and one of the workshops at that conference was laughter yoga.
Okay.
And that's where I found my laughter voice.
And of course, even though you may not be a serious person, when cancer comes into the room, people are serious around you, aren't they?
Exactly. People walk away.
Yes.
As I say, it's not contagious. Laughter is, but cancer isn't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people are fearful and they don't know what to say or how to handle it.
Okay.
But as you see here, I'm standing here in front of you today, right? Like, you know.
You look great.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm rocking
and you're smiling. Yeah. So what are the benefits then?
The benefits, oh my God, where do I start? Well, first of all, it lifts your mood. So it can aid with depression. Now, I'm not saying it cures it. It can aid with depression. It lifts your mood. You're breathing deeper down into the lungs. So all the toxins are lying at the bottom of the lung. So when you're laughing, you're exhaling further. So you're actually releasing all those toxins out and bringing in fresh, oxygenated breath back down into the lungs. You're connecting with people because you're making... Like, we haven't stopped making eye contact since I came in here. So you're connecting with people. Yeah. You're making eye contact. You're actually, laughter is contagious. So you're building rapport with people. So in the workplace, with team building, with productivity, it raises all those levels because who doesn't want to be on the team that's happy? Yeah. Who doesn't want to be over there with that group of people over there who are laughing and having great fun? They all have bonded. I heard a lady saying she'd been at a hen's party laughter yoga and how great it was for bringing strangers together who had to come together for this hen's party and then come together for this wedding, and they're going to be married together for life. And it was like amazing. She said it was credible how it brings people together.
Okay, so tell us what's going to happen, because there are a number of people out there. They're very enthusiastic. Don't come in yet. Don't come in yet. I just want to. Oh, no. Come on in. Come on in. Come on. They're very enthusiastic.
Don't keep the foot to yourself,
they're very
Ray.
Enthusiastic. So, Niamh, our producer today. How are you, Fionnuala, BCO, Emily, BCO, and Emily, who's researched on the show. Thank you. You're all very welcome into Studio 7. Very unusual. You're not usually in studio. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey. They all look fabulous.
They're not perfectly positioned for you because you can't make eye contact with them.
I can't make eye contact with them, but you can.
Right.
So, I make eye contact with you and you can bounce back to the ladies.
Okay. Now, tell us what's going to happen. So we have to start laughing, but it's a false laugh, is it?
Yes, because it's what we want to do is we want to generate the laughter. How are we going to do that? We're going to do it by doing a fake laughter. Right. And you go, I can't do fake laughter. And do you know why we do fake laughter? We do it because our brain can't tell the difference. Our brain cannot tell whether we're laughing for real or laughing for fake. So our body is getting the benefits.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we do a fake laughter. So we have different stages. So we have the social laughter, which comes from our throat, where somebody says a joke and you go, you're walking past, and you go, yeah.
That's fake.
Yeah, and that's a little bit fake. Yeah. And then you have the one where you put your hand on your heart and it's a bit more real. You go, oh, yeah.
But it's not, it's not there.
And the one we want to get to, where all the work comes from, is down here. Deep belly laughter, right. Santa Claus. That's the laugh you want to get to. Okay. Because did you know 10 minutes of continuous belly laughter is equivalent to 10 minutes of running or on a treadmill? It gives you the runner's high. So you come away with that.
Dopamine, all that,
yes,
all the good stuff.
Yes, it releases all the good that. Stuff. So that's why we want to get to it. And we can get there by doing the fake laughter.
And unfortunately, as we get older, we laugh less.
We do. Children laugh all the time.
Yeah.
And that's, we want to become more childlike. So that's why we bring in the little
and the exercises. The reason I say that is because I think part of the reason we laugh less is because we become more self-conscious.
Yes,
we do. And I can even see, you know, Emily there, she's standing like she's at the back of the church.
Yeah.
And the other Emily, you were standing like that up until recently. Yeah. You're folding your arms.
Yeah.
Neva's around folded. Yeah. Everyone's a little bit cautious,
a little bit cagey. But you know what? What we do is we just start shaking our hands.
Shaking our hands. No, because I suppose in a group, if you don't know
shake
people, we all know each other.
Energy.
Yeah, so we're shaking our hands. You can do this at home now. You can instruct people at home as
well,
Kathy.
Absolutely. Just shake, flick your hands.
Mark's doing it as well.
Fantastic.
Come on, Mark.
Brilliant. So we're laughing. to yoga, we have a few little exercises, a little rhymes.
I think your biggest job is with Niamh. She looks the most self-conscious. Yeah.
Oh, so okay. Right. Yeah. Well, let's just move it up a little notch. So what we're going to do is we're going to clap our hands. And as we do it, our fingers are pointing up to the ceiling. And we want the acupuncture pressure pads in the palms of our hands to touch each other.
So clapping at home. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
In your
kitchen. Clapping at home.
In your kitchen, in the sitting room, wherever you might be.
Now we're going to introduce a rhythm. So we're going to go and we're going to introduce some words with it. We're going to go ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. 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 Ho, ho. Very good, very good. Yay! Arms up in the air, stretched out. We're lifting our arms up because that helps to open our lungs and get more oxygen in.
Hands in the air.
Fantastic. Yeah, and we're praising ourselves like children. We're going ho, ho, ha ha ha, and then we're going very good, very good, yay! We also talk gibberish. Gibberish is fantastic. It's a conversation with no words. Maybe go. Very good. Yay! Fantastic. Is it working?
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. Listen, that was brilliant. I really enjoyed that. Kathy Moore, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The rivers. Let the damned water beat. There's some people down the way that's thirsty, so let the liquid spirit free. The people are thirsty because of man's unnatural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind, when the water hits the banks of that hard, dry land. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Get ready for the wave. It might strike like a final flood. The people haven't drank in so long, the water won't even make mud. After it comes, it might come with a steady flow. Grab the roots of the tree down by the river. Dip your cup when your spirit's low. Clap your hands now. Go ahead and clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Clap your hands now. Dip down and take a drink.
Clap your hands now. Kathy Moore, thank you so much for that.
Ah, thank you.
That's really set me up for the weekend.
God, I'm delighted
and
to hear
hopefully
that.
It's worked for some people at home as well.
Absolutely.
So, where do you do your stuff?
So I am based in the Sean O'Casey Community Centre in East Wall. Yeah. It's a beautiful community centre and it's not an easy thing to do laughter yoga. You can't do it in a yoga studio because the noise, as you can see, you can't do it where you're going to be disturbing other people. So we have a tower blocking up the top, room 5 or room 3. I can laugh. Yeah. And make as much noise as we want, run around like children and really have fun, and it's not disturbing anybody. So it's absolutely fantastic. You can find me on New Wave Laughter Yoga or through laughteryogaireland.org.
And Trish says, brilliant as an icebreaker at a wedding reception. It would have everyone in stitches and it can be used
absolutely.
Anywhere. You have to employ a qualified laughter yoga practitioner.
Exactly, yeah. Like to make sure it's done safely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, that's it from us. 5 on 4. You don't need that. Just need to tell you that Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your weekend. Have a good old laugh. Good luck. And whatever you're doing, do it safely.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.